I guess, okay.
We'll call him in to order it.
Six thirty then. Okay, Robert. Okay, so we'll call this meeting to order at 6:04. And do we go ahead and approve the minutes and we'll have Corey sign them on another time?
Yes, we can do that.
Okay.
So we just need a motion.
I should have read the minutes and worked the minutes.
All right.
You want to make a motion?
Absolutely.
All right.
I can go through them.
All right. Second, please.
Yes, yes, I did.
Thank you, David.
Review them.
All right, all in favor?
I didn't read them, I'm sorry.
You're not opposed, right?
Yeah, no, I'm not opposed, so.
The taxes. Okay, so Jim and Corey.
I don't even see the agenda or the minutes. When did you send them out?
They're in the link.
There, yeah.
Yeah, they're in the link.
Is it preference that I not do that? Just send them out via email instead of the, through the? I was trying to be efficient, but clearly it didn't work.
If I can see the link, I know how to do the link, I just don't see it. Is it on willowpark.org, that link to the?
There is one on there, but it should have come through a meeting invitation.
Yes, if that's the link you see.
Well, no, it's just on the bottom of her. I see invites.
Should be in the.
Oh, is this it? Is that it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yep.
I didn't even pay any attention to that.
Sorry. I said I was trying to be
Tech savvy,
it didn't work out.
I would say I personally prefer you provide the link, because then if you update it,
right,
the link's correct.
That's true.
If you send it out in a PDF, then.
Now that I know what it is, don't worry about it.
Okay. And I'll make sure I get Corey's email address right last time.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I'll send him an apology. Do we have any public comments for anything? Public comments? No, good. Okay. Moving on to the agenda then for discussion. We had the proposal from Baird Hampton and Brown to amend the Parks and Trails Master Plan. And Larry Colvin is from Baird Hampton and Brown and also from Weatherford Mountain Bike Club, as you well know. He's spoken to us before. And so they provided the proposal to add an addendum to update our Parks and Trails Master Plan for our trail to be something that's realistic. If you read the paper, Rick Mock did a great job of making me sound intelligent. And to make that trail plan be something that's workable, a real workable document, as opposed to a speculation or something that we hoped would happen one day. We didn't really know exactly where it was going or what was happening, but Larry has brought us into the real world and the fact that that can really happen. So they have suggested that we get things rolling with them and let them update the master plan, and that way we can start looking at real opportunities to say we've really got this going, we're serious about it, we want to do community education about it, we want to get, you know, business partners involved with it, things of that. So, you know, we want to be able to get that to be, it's real life, it's really happening, and then also get some funding opportunities available, people that want to do sponsorships and things to get things rolling along. So
It differed from the other. Was there a master plan before for
there
parks?
There is. We do have a Parks and Trails master plan.
So
yeah.
This added to it, to what I saw briefly skimming it,
mm-hmm.
to include that Epcot
correct
facility. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say so. The part. Do you remember the date of the?
It's October of 2019.
2019. So I was going to say, you know, that. I mean. That's enough time that's passed, just that it makes sense that we're working
right
on updating it, because we tend to wait 5 years and then start talking about updating things. But, you know, if y'all remember how that went, it was very overview. It was, we were going to do Cross Timbers Park, so there was a big focus on the playground at Cross Timbers Park when we put that, you know, but it's supposed to be called a Parks and Trails, so we put that word on the end, trails,
mm-hmm.
when there was really nothing in there about trails. Yeah.
In the old one.
In the old one. Other than the survey that we did, people said they wanted trails.
Mm-hmm.
And so it allows us now to say, okay, we've accomplished some of the first items that were in that survey. Trails is one of the things that we have not really hit, other than I get compliments on the Wilkes property, you know, that's private. It's open to the public. The city didn't do anything other than approve the plan the TERS plan when he included those in those. So it's that's the idea is now that we've kind of got a park location, we're coming up with the trails locations and putting it in ink on paper so that, you know, people know about it.
And just for curiosity, my understanding is still, and Baron Hampton Brown may have something to say, it's still fairly conceptual.
Right? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We are, but it gives us the opportunity, the way this works, or my hope, is to segment and to have segments that we can work on independently. For example, a single track trail within the Wilkes property, you know, we can talk to him separately. Trail within TCA. So as we can work on portions of what that trail, some of those probably will be working on, you know, at the same time that we're updating the plan. So we're not waiting for the plan for some of those because they are kind of private. But the idea of having those segments all in there will allow us, my hope is, the connectors that will allow as we get those, then having funding to say, this is pretty simple. We just need a connector between here and there. I think one thing that we mentioned that did come up at the last council meeting, Crown Road is kind of part of our trails connector plan. We're redoing Crown Road right now in concrete, and bike lanes are being put. And
really?
3 foot of, right. 3 foot of bike lanes on both sides of what we're doing with Crown Road.
That's
the idea, that if we had, because we knew we were going to have this plan, when we went and started design on that, we said, hey, let's think forward, even though we don't have that plan already approved, the trails plan already, we kind of know we want to go there, and so before we put concrete down and say later, that would have been great if we could have made it wide enough for bikes.
Well, I saw the advance warning sign on the north part of Crown, but I haven't been on it since they were working on it. I'm just curious if they find themselves with enough space to add that.
The design is there. I haven't seen.
Some people's front lawns are a little smaller, but yes, they found the space.
So they did to get some right
away. I've driven to that.
I figured that would probably be the case.
Derek didn't indicate that right away was an issue. Slopes is the biggest
issue.
Well, I know when they built
the steepness of some people's property.
If the city's bound to certain criteria or not, because that gets into, like, TxDOT's not able to do that.
Right.
We're going to have a 6-to-1.
Yep.
And if we buy right away to do it, then we buy right. But I think others must be under different criteria.
We are definitely going to be out of the criteria, but because it's already out of the criteria, my understanding was, I'm not Derek and I'm not, but the idea, because we're, I don't know that there's some we may be making it a little bit steeper, but yeah, we are definitely not meeting standards.
Okay. Well, when they built Stagecoach, I was looking at that thinking those are way steeper than the norms. I didn't know what the city was governed by. But the other thing is that, you know, sometimes it's just a physical consideration. You got by with it on Stagecoach because you got rock.
Mm-hmm.
It can be that steep physically. Forget about the other criteria. If it was a certain other kind of soil, you couldn't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be eroding right into your pavement before you knew it.
Right.
But you're able to do that there because of the material. So it's something to maybe keep in mind.
Yeah, hopefully. Derek did, and I will say, the one thing I would tell you is I attended the meeting where they briefed the citizens on Crown. And when they said they were making it wider for bike lanes, no one complained. I was kind of like waiting for that to be, we don't want that. But they're all like, no, it needs to be wider. It'll be safer.
Well, I was going to say, they probably see that as a positive, thinking, if nobody uses it, I've got a little extra buffer.
So the drainage, you know, will be improved. It won't be perfect. What I will say is that the city will work with certain individuals that have, I mean, some pretty steep slopes, that the right of way that they will, if they want, you know, we'll put it in the way it has to be and stop at their property line. If they want it a little better and we can go a little further, we'll go into their property, but that's their, they can tell us no, but they'll end up with a steeper drive. Yeah, so they, there's a few driveways that we will work with. And
that's on the grade of the driveway. That's not the slope to the ditch.
Right.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's a good.
Yeah.
Who owns the brown? Is it Little Park or is it split with Weatherford?
County.
County.
And Willow.
County and Willow Park, Weatherford has no part of the road, from my understanding, but Weatherford has property. So they're Weatherford city limits, so the county owns the road up to where we are stopping, which is the west, the curve.
Right.
Yeah. So
after that, who owns our road?
That's the county.
That's the county road.
Right.
So we have, okay.
Right.
I was going to ask you what costs. Picking the bill, that's just us. The city.
Yeah, so we're stopping at the city limits. So until the county says, you know, you can take it over and they deed it to us or whatever. So we're hoping, the idea would be that encourages the county when they redo it to match what we've done.
Right.
So there's also property in there that is split between Weatherford ETJ and Willow Park ETJ that, you know, could potentially, as that develops, you could have roads,
right,
you know, that connect. That developer would be encouraged to have roads that go to and continue on the bike path size. So.
And that's the black line on the map that you sent, I guess, that you guys sent?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So.
So the bike lines will end and merge into the road, and you have to cycle basically to there on the way around through that developer's.
Right.
Plan.
The hope will be eventually when that develops, it'll all make sense. Mm-hmm. But we're doing the road in concrete now. So,
right.
Yeah.
No.
It will look a little, I'm going to tell you, I can imagine it's going to be this pretty wide concrete road that's going to end in the county, you know,
right,
that goes across the tiny bridge, you know. Yeah. But.
Well, you get another, the city gets another advantage to that 3 feet because it really protects the edge of the pavement.
Yes.
Because you're going to strike it. Theoretically, where the vehicles aren't going to be driving out there, so that will increase the.
So your trash truck should not be on that edge,
right?
The heaviest loads you
right.
Every
so
week.
It,
exactly.
You know, even if nobody cycles on it, which I know they will, because they've done it, they're doing it now on occasion, but there'll be an advantage to the city even if there wasn't.
Yeah, I've actually noticed in that area a lot of walkers too, in that whole area.
Part of everything.
Yeah, so I think it'll. Mm-hmm. And so the Ridge House, where it turns to go up to Vista and East Lake, that's going to have the bike lanes too. So
oh,
it'll
boy,
carry. The hope, the idea was we're putting that all in concrete, and Weatherford, City of Weatherford, in their plan, eventually, hopefully, will put their. A 10-mile bike loop up there, so that's part of their plan that they need to figure out. And but at least we'll get everybody to that.
Yeah.
So that my hope is that encourages Weatherford. So I'm trying to force the county to do something.
Oh, I think it will.
I
think it will have that effect.
The file that you sent with the map, is there an update to the one that we received in the past, or is that the same map? Just
I think it's the same map. Is it the same? Is the Epcot map that you put?
The one that I.
In
that I sent with the proposal, there are a few additions that have been made to it since I last made an address to y'all. Mm-hmm. They change. It changes almost every time I meet with
someone. I was going to say, you probably would need one as of 4 p.m. today. Larry plays with that daily, I think.
But
so.
Primarily the changes that happened were we extended the trail south of Aledo.
Okay.
We've actually scouted some area out there for trail development. We made a couple of revisions to alignment of the Epcot Trail from Aledo to Aneta.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, that's really about it. Those are two of the bigger changes.
Gotcha.
Other than that, the map's, you know, just as you see it when I submitted the proposal last month, so. It's still basically pretty much the same.
Right.
Yeah.
So I see there's a cost associated with, in the file that you sent, there's $44,000 that come up for fees and a lot of meetings, essentially a lot of meetings. Other cities impacted by the trail system, are they coming in to help with the cost as well, like Aneta and Aledo? extending past through that area.
Well, that cost is specifically for within Little Park.
Little Park, right.
Right, so the parts of Epcot that are outside are not part of that, I guess, specific part of the project. So if they need, you know, what they need, they would be responsible for if they want their trails plan updated, if they want anything. But I guess I would say that there's the Weatherford Mountain Bike Club has created this map of a dream. We are paying Barrett Hampton and Broward to take that idea and develop it into art. The idea of within the city of Willow Park,
right.
And what we show that's outside of it is more just of a, this is the reason for this. So
you can see the connectivity.
Right.
Exactly.
That's
how we fit.
No, absolutely. But I mean, what has been the feedback from other cities as far as connecting to our part of the trail system? Are they on board? Are they following suit to what we're doing? The timelines? How is all connecting?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, the answer is yes. You know, I've been meeting with these other communities, you know, as the plan gets massaged, and yeah, like the city of Weatherford, Chad Marbach and Jake and Jacob Kirkpatrick, they're going to go to Trail Labs up in Bentonville, just like Tony and Leah did last year, and they're very interested in this plan and want to be able to take advantage of the opportunities. And I've really been lobbying the city of Weatherford. I'd like for them to do a bond election to get the trail built around the lake. So that's something that I'm pushing over there that will really help us. You know, so when I meet with these people, I'm trying to bring everybody together so we know what one another's doing. Because we want to, if they have a great idea, we want to hear about it. You know, so we're out there leading the charge, saying, here's our idea. What do you think of it? And they're either going to say, that's awesome, or they're going to go, what if we do this?
Right.
You know, so we have the option of saying yes or no to it. And if they want to do it, then they can do it. But, you know, we want something that's going to be cohesive, it's expandable, it's buildable, and sustainable. So.
Yeah, I would say...
And affordable.
Yeah, it's
the
it's
cities are
pretty
both.
Well, and the affordability question. I mean, the idea of the whole thing is it comes from multiple sources. You know, will it come from some city budget? Certain parts. Well, the plan for this. I mean, that's coming from the city budget. Will it come from private fundraising? Absolutely. I mean, the majority of the trails in Aledo were built. You know, the developer and private fundraising. But the idea is once you have the plan, then grants are also available. So that's our hope, is that everybody's kind of working all of their angles. And I would say when you ask the cities, the county, the receptiveness to it, I think everybody always likes the idea, are you asking me to put that in my budget now? And it's like, no. I think we've been trying to say, we're asking you to put it in your planning. We're asking you to know what is going to be coming so that you don't make decisions on something that prevents it. You know, for example, you don't redo a road that could have been done with bike lanes,
right.
You know, but that would be the... So that's kind of been the approach from my perspective of talking to cities, but pretty much everybody wants trail systems. I mean, I know certain citizens may not, but I don't think any leaders...
Right.
I think everybody in this East Parker County area. And in fact, I would say we met with we did the mayor's meeting at one point, and I don't know if we've met since then, but you had Springtown, you had Peace, you know, you had, and it was kind of like, that's all fine and good, but can we talk about, we don't necessarily, but we want trails too. How do we, you know, so it's like, Larry, go talk to them, see what they can do with, you know, so
right.
The idea. So I think a lot of communities know they need to think it through and plan, especially as you develop major master plan developments. As you get those big areas that put in neighborhoods, you need to be thinking, how do you get trails in them from the get-go?
Right.
Not the after. So yeah, that the main idea is to kind of clean up some of where we've been excited, get it down on paper, I do think the idea of us having our trails plan as kind of the center part of this whole thing makes it so that when you start talking about, for example, TxDOT, our idea being, well, we'll have this plan if TCA starts building their trails and Wilkes starts building his, then it's easy for us to go to TxDOT and say, we're looking for a connector of trails that are there. They're, you know, we are, they're building, people are writing, we need to connect them. So the idea being when it's in the plan, then it's far more concrete to say we want to see this happen. Also, you know, we're kind of in a, I'll just say a standstill at this point. We're not pushing hard on the property below the golf course. They're a little nervous about stuff there because they're very protective of their dam. They are very, so we're kind of waiting on that. But the idea being the more things grow around them and you see the need for that connection that we're getting everything, we're hoping that when we go back to them 6 months, you know, that the idea that everything's still growing around that idea makes them more, okay, this isn't just a one little spot that we said don't do trails. It's part of the whole system that we need to think through. So that's my idea.
Very exciting.
Yeah. So is there anything else? Any questions for Larry on what they're
doing? I got a question for these other towns, small communities. Has there been any discussion about, you mentioned earlier, if they have a better idea, you want to hear it. If they have an alternate idea, you want to hear it. Is there maybe a framework to say, do whatever you want to do, just tie in right here so that, you know, you're not moving those tie-in points all over the place, and it's sort of, it still gives flexibility. Something whenever asked the question, it crossed my mind.
Yeah, like when I met with the city of Hudson Oaks, for instance, we want to tie the Epcot Trail into Jubal's Park, which is the only park that Hudson Oaks has. Mm-hmm. And, when I met the city manager and his liaison, they came up with the idea that's great, but we'd like to extend the trail south across the interstate and tie it into East Bankhead. So they had an idea that would provide better connectivity to what we were planning. Because part of the Epcot Trail going from Aledo and up around Lake Weatherford, that's one phase of it, that by doing that, we're realigning the plans that COG has for the VeloWeb. And the VeloWeb is a regional trail network around North Texas. And right now, the North Central Texas Council of Governments is proposing the trail alignment to run along the Union Pacific Railroad from downtown Aledo to Town Creek Trail in Weatherford. So by meeting with Hudson Oaks and listening to their idea of connecting Hudson Oaks to East Bankhead, the Epcot Trail is going right into Bankhead. So now we can realign the VeloWeb and bring it right down East Bankhead. Mm-hmm. And that's an example of a great idea, because doing that is going to make Union Pacific much more happier, because when they were looking at the VeloWeb plan, they're going, oh my gosh, you know, they want a bike trail all along our railroad right away from Aledo out into downtown Weatherford. Well, now we're intercepting that trail off of Jenkins, and now Union Pacific is done with us. Mm-hmm. They don't have to deal with the trail from Aledo all the way to Weatherford, because we want to take it up north. So those are kind of the examples of engaging other community leaders and letting them know the nuts and bolts of what we want to do, because they may have a plan that I haven't heard about. Yeah. So,
well, hopefully Hudson Oaks mentioned theirs about going from that elementary school, Martin Elementary, to Gene Boyle's.
Yeah.
They had approval on that.
Yeah, so they sure did.
Okay.
And they've shown me they do have a trails plan, and that will be incorporated into our base file, which that's what I'm working on right now, the AutoCAD base file. It's assimilating all this information from different communities so we can make educated decisions on what we want to do.
Yeah. I was going to say, we probably need to revisit with our new county commissioner, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now that we've had them take office, I guess, in January. So. Especially for Bankhead. When you say Bankhead and like that, they have a lot to do with Bankhead Bridge. So.
Oh, yeah.
We want to get that in front of them constantly. Yeah, no, I'm excited about, we have a wonderful citizen who put our plan out there, and I think we've received a response today on our trail plan from KJ, I think, put something out there. So the more people know about it, I mean, we want involvement. We want people to see it, and so that's kind of what this whole idea is we want to have a public meeting for this. Yeah, that's part of this process, is we will revise the trails plan so that we get feedback and understanding from people to say, this is, you know, we want y'all. I laugh because it was, I knew it must have been posted because my neighbor, one in my neighborhood, said, I think that red trail is in my backyard. And I said, well, you'll certainly be able to get to it from your backyard. So, you know, maybe we need to stop shooting arrows to little things behind that fence. But, that idea that I think people are, you know, going to be excited about it. And, you know, and we want to answer their questions. We want them to understand, you know, how this all works. So, and I will say the other part of it that we probably discussed before, but specifically, it will include look at our ETJ. Any areas, not just our ETJ, but our undeveloped areas within the city, so that when a developer comes in and says, this is the housing plan that I want, we'll go, well, you know, there's supposed to be a trail through there, right? You know, so it just makes it clear up front that we're not asking them to revise their ideas. They knew before they started developing it that we picked to have trails come. And, you know, and it's really, I mean, we've got Weatherford to the west of us. We've got Weatherford almost to the east of us, you know. So we want our plans so that we're working with the other cities to get, you know. And Fort Worth, I really don't know what their plan is to come Old Weatherford Road and all of that. But I would imagine that Fort Worth will have, you know, a say in, you know, when they develop the Beggs Ranch and stuff like that. We want to be connected. Trails should be connected. So that's the idea. Get it all, you know, hunky-dory so everybody knows what our general plan is. So, and then we can start doing fundraising. But we are working, you know, on those private properties, the Wilkes and the Trinity Christian Academy, talking with them. Still trying to figure out the Squaw Creek CERA aspect as well. I'm never going to give up on any of those.
Good.
We have a couple trailheads planned on the north side and the south side, so hopefully those will take fruition. We've got some ideas on those, and
there's no park space around this building. That's right. That's okay.
So, do y'all own this building now?
No, we're leasing.
We're just leasing.
Yeah,
okay.
just this portion. Yeah.
Are they going to start constructing a new city hall on this old city hall property? Or
we have no decisions have been made.
Okay.
So what's going to happen with the old city hall? Don't know. It's just going to depend on what our needs are. And I would say now that we don't have the immediate need for that to be City Hall, that we have a lease here, it allows us to start thinking through how do we want this next phase to happen. So what do we want that space to be? Where do we want our long-term City Hall to be? Could this be it? So there's a lot of questions up in the air on that. So I can say that Cross Timbers Park and the garden are... and the PSB are, there's nothing happening. no plans to destroy any of that, so.
So There, right now, we have no way of watering the Veterans Memorial Garden. When they changed out something, there's no, I don't have access to water at the Veterans Memorial Garden. So, should I talk to Public Works about that, or who should I talk to?
I'll ask them. Okay. Yeah, I'll talk to them. There's a,
she's the cop.
We had leakage last, in the fall, there was something that would, water was spilling out everywhere. So I don't know where exactly that was coming from. So I think the valve was turned off. So we'll have to check and see if that's a repair that needs to be done or something was happening to it. So let me get it mounted.
Yeah, because the valve's gone.
Yeah.
That
okay.
would allow me to turn
I think
it
there
off.
Was, I think
off.
There was a leak. Yeah, I think there was a leak in the box.
It's a bad day for us.
Yeah.
And y'all are not watering that.
You have no water, so you
that park area, are you? No. Because I think that would be foolish.
Yeah.
Because it would just require more mowing. And
there are lines there, but they're not hooked up to run. There are sprinkler lines run.
Oh, are there?
Mm-hmm. Where the stakes are, whenever the electricians ran the outlets out there, so they did find sprinkler lines. So
oh, they did. Okay.
But they're not hooked up, so they're not. So they're dry, so okay. They're not. They haven't been working, but I don't know what or why. So
yeah, okay.
Kind of a good point now, but there were lines there. Anybody have anything else on that? I'll give Larry a chance to speak if anything you want to weigh in on any of that.
I guess, you know, I read the article in the community news yesterday. It was, and I've shared it with a bunch of friends, and everybody really liked the article. There is one change that I want to bring up that was mentioned in the article. This is something that's big. It just happened that they're in the sport of mountain biking, they were sort of called e-mountain bikes. And up until this year, they weren't allowed on these types of trails, types of mountain bike trails, because they're classified as a motorized vehicle. Like the bikes have a little electric motor in them that only operates when you pedal the bike. So evidently what happened was that down in Austin, the RTP program, Recreational Trail Programs Grant, they were receiving applications from municipalities that wanted to build trails specifically for e-mountain bikes. And they were classifying these applications as being motorized trails. So what happened was the off-road community and the people who build motorized trails raised a fit about it, because they were, these bicycle groups in their eyes were taking money away from them. So the law is kind of relaxed. Like they had a meeting, and I talked with Trey Cooksey, who's the director of the program, and he said, you know, like we got to classify these electric bicycles as just bicycles. Mm-hmm. So they made the change that allowing class one e-mountain bikes to be on mountain bike trails. There's three classifications, and class one is the most popular. And let me point out that the sport of e-mountain biking is still a very, very niche sport. The bikes are pretty expensive, and they represent a small percentage of the trail users. But anyway, they're out there. But class one e-mountain bikes, the motor only works when you pedal it. The bike will only top out at 20 miles an hour. And then the bike actually becomes quite a liability. And like for instance, I went up to Bentonville and went riding with some friends, and they were all on e-mountain bikes. And there were certain portions of the trail where they couldn't keep up with me because the bike couldn't go any faster.
Right.
So
anyway.
And it's heavier.
Yes.
A lot heavier. Yeah.
Now, class two e-mountain bikes actually have a throttle. Like you don't have to pedal the bicycle. It looks like a bicycle, but it has a throttle. And those bikes are capable of going 20 miles an hour. And those bikes are prohibited from being on these trails. Now, class three e-mountain bikes, they don't have a throttle. You can pedal them, and they look just like class one bikes. it's a little nuances to them to where they're easily recognized as a class three bike. But those bikes, when you put on, they top out at 28 miles an hour. So anyway, the mountain bike group here in North Texas, they got organized and they've been going around to different municipalities to have trails and making their case for these bikes to be on these mountain bike trails. And they went to the city of Weatherford and met with James Hocop's staff and made the argument that, hey, we should be able to ride at Quantico Hill. And the city of Weatherford said yes. And they revised their ordinance. They're prohibiting class two and class three. They're allowing class one, and it went before council and they said yes. This happened about 2 months ago. So anyway, it's a nonprofit, the Weatherford Mountain Bike Club. We're not in the business of, it's very tough for us to enforce these things. So we're really happy that this ruling came along and everything. So so we're gonna let all of our trails allow class one mountain bikes, and it's going to make everybody happier.
So then all of your indemnification, all of your liability documents will reflect that. So that will be standard for anything that Weatherford Mountain Bike Club works with. Well, that is more, I'm just going to say, normal compared to other states, you know, that's kind of, you know, I'm going to say Arkansas, you know, it seemed like it was going to be a tough road for Texas to hold on to that.
It's going to make it a lot easier for us. So. But anyway, I bring that up because inevitably somebody's going to read that article and call up Willow Park and let me speak to Tony Fisher.
Larry's incredible.
Well, I will tell you, we did get a call today, not about e-bikes, but goats. So I would have to visit with you about goats if you haven't, you know. So, a lady who owns a company that allows goats to do the vegetation maintenance on trails.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I've heard about them.
They put up, you know, hot wire fencing, basically, to keep the goats from going where they're not supposed to. And the goats, and I was like, well, we've got a place with a lot of Johnson grass. Do they jump? Oh, yeah. I got a guy for you then. I was like, of all the calls when I had to call back somebody that was interested in our trail, I was not expecting goats to be the subject that we were talking about. I was like, I've heard of this. Costco has used goats to.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they have a very steep slope down, so instead of bringing in machinery and having it be dangerous. Goats for
I like her name because I have some areas that I can't deal with. It gets too steep.
Yeah.
And it would be great to have the goats eat the briars.
Well, I'll send you, she sent me her website. So she does commercial. Yeah. She lives in Mineral Wells but does work all over the metro. Up to Phantom Cap. Yeah. Like I said, it was not the call I thought I was going to be having when I called her back. I thought, goats. I thought maybe she wanted goats on the trail. Right. But I thought, that's not what she's saying.
Mikey with goats versus Yoga with goats.
So who's going to police the class two and threes? If somebody decides to put one on the trail, who's going to really be keeping an eye for them?
I'm sorry?
Who polices?
Who polices a trail if you bring a class two or a class three?
Well,
e-bike.
Yeah, the Weatherford police does, but they never do it.
It's kind of one of those that's like when you talk about the different groups, they know which it's kind of a, I think it would be harder to keep the class ones off because people expect that they should be able to do that because you can do it in a lot of places.
Yeah.
And so, but that's not, I mean, Arkansas and places, I think it's just more normal that if you have one of those, you know, you're going to be looking for private property to.
Yeah, and class two and class three, honestly, the class one people police it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they do. They say, you're going to ruin it for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen that happen before, you know, where people say, hey, you know, you can't have those bikes out here. And it's like, you know, we still have people who ride the trails without a helmet. You see how people who walk the trails with their dog and it's not on a leash.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just,
yeah.
You know, things like that are a lot easier to set to give somebody a reminder. Like, hey, man, next time you come, make sure you have a trail. to this trail, make sure you have a helmet on.
No, it's not security for me. Yeah. I put that on the minutes. Let them figure that out.
Yeah. Are you a neurologist or something?
Well, I do think that it's kind of one of those, they know not to go to, you know, it'd be like taking a motorcycle on the Trinity Trail. Yeah. Nobody's going to do that, you know. They just, I mean, I'm not saying they wouldn't, but they know that everyone knows they're not supposed to be there. Yeah. So it's kind of a, if you, and that's, I would say, a big part of that, the class one, when you talk about the expense, you know, what I think potentially see as a rental. You know, so that's what nobody's going to rent those, you know. So it is truly a person who has enough money to purchase their own and knows where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, right.
So they're intentionally being, trying to sneak it in, and I just kind of, it's not as bad as you might think it would be, is the, so, but anyway, so.
Do you think that's worth putting something in the paper to kind of say, oh, by the way? Or do you think that really We won't get enough backlash to really worry about it.
I would just leave it alone. You know, like, we'll eventually have another public meeting, and we'll bring it up. Like, it will be a topic in our public meeting, especially the meeting we have with the Forward Bicycle Association and the mountain bike community. It's going to be one of the first questions that's going to be asked. Like, hey, can we ride Class 1 e-mountain bikes? And I'm going to say yes.
Well, I'd love to invite the paper to that when we do have said meeting, and that way they can, you know.
Yeah. I'm old school. I'm like, really? You want an e-bike?
Oh.
But we like sequence.
Yeah. Until you get on an e-bike and you're like, okay.
Well, I was going to say, what's the concern on the Class 2s and 3s? Is it erosion? Is it just the speed?
It's speed.
Okay.
Yeah. You know,
okay, I understand.
Well, I'll say, for the Class 1s, you know, to say what it is, I'm going to say way back when we kayaked, I got foot pedals in my kayak, you know, and it's an equalizer is the big thing. For example, I could ride with Larry on a lot of trails with an e-bike and keep up with him. So let's say, you know, my husband, if you want to ride with your wife and you're a cyclist, you get her an e-bike and y'all can enjoy that. So there's a reason people like it, that it's not just that they're lazy. It definitely makes it so that you can have different levels without, you know, somebody getting
on, so, on the road, it's not much of an issue, really.
Right.
I don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
Actually, in 2018, Governor Abbott signed into law allowing electric bicycles on paved trails because they're looked at as a mode of transportation.
Right.
And honestly, I mean, if you live near if you live close to the Trinity Trail in Fort Worth, and like getting a really nice Class 3 e-bike would be really smart.
Yeah.
Because you could ride to work 28 miles an hour and your heart rate would be at 70 beats per minute.
Yeah.
You know?
and that's the reason.
Different class road bikes too for the.
Yeah, you can get class 1, 2, 3 road bikes. Absolutely.
So I've only seen the ones.
I'd say that on the mountain bike, the whole speed up 20 is not a whole lot of speed. I mean, the road bike, we usually hit that all the time, just cruising, but I can see that on the trail, that is a little bit, you know, not a road bike trail, it's, you know, you wrap around yourself a trip 20 miles an hour, you're going to feel it.
Or these, you know, like,
or hit someone else.
Like, if I lived on the Trinity Trail, I could do grocery shopping and I could do my errands and things. I mean, I would get a bike that has some cargo capacity to it, so you could go grocery shopping and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you know, like my buddy Justin Wellborn, he's got this e-mountain bike it can hold 200 pounds. And he goes to the hardware store and he puts bags of concrete in it.
Wow.
And stuff like that. And rides back and forth. And that's what he uses to get
So when you're
town.
Building trails, can he haul some stuff on the trails using them?
Yeah. If the trail were light duty enough where you could ride a bike like that. Yeah.
That's
awesome. So, I mean, there's some There's definitely some advantages to this new ruling coming along.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Wow. You don't realize that.
Learn something every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, well, I'm excited. I think we're, you know, we have a ways to go to get some trails built in Willow Park, but I think we'll see something in the next year. And so I don't, you know, we'll let y'all know as we know of any other parks type projects coming up. I don't think we've really expanded into too much event planning yet. But,
not too, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But
it's speculation.
Yeah.
We could do this or we could do that. So
I think we have Willow Park planned.
We do,
yeah.
And I did get a phone call from Wilkes Development, from their CFO, that's talking about their amphitheater.
Okay.
And so when I did, they were talking about, you know, did I know of any place or anyone business-wide or organization that would be interested maybe in utilizing their amphitheater for any kind of events of sorts. And I did mention to them that we had spoken with Larry about a Fat Tire Festival.
Oh, yeah.
And so he was very intrigued by that, and I said, you know, they said that their venue, the area, can hold 200-300 people, and I said that would be fabulous, and it would highlight their trail and
mm-hmm.
our trail and bring attention to that area. And he was very, now I don't know if there's a fee attached to that, so that's another conversation, and it's not finished yet, so, but I did plant the seed that we would be interested in hosting an event there for a, you know, some kind of a festival of sorts that would be a fundraising situation for Weatherford Mountain Bike Club to kind of get some things going. So he was favorable to that. So
when is Crown Road?
November. Is it November when Crown Road is supposed to
finish?
I honestly don't know.
No, I'm basing that off of the letter that I got. It's the same contractor doing Sam Bass and you know all the asphalt roads too. So they say. So Crown Road should be finished before then. Actually, you're a day early. I think there's a meeting with them tomorrow. So that's when I think you ask them what's your interview. If the whole thing is supposed to finish in November, at what point do you think Crown Road's going to be done? When are you going to start on Sam Bass? And when are you going to go here? So yeah, we aren't quite sure what with their pace.
I have a lot of questions for the road people, trust me. But
I kind of did too. I figured I'd let them get through that meeting and then I'd, you know, respond. So, but yes.
But once they finish out, you have technically a piece of the trail already up and running. So
yes, absolutely.
You do a ribbon cutting on the top and the bottom of the hill.
Yeah.
There you go.
We'll do bikes and we'll do that little downhill ride from ribbon to ribbon. So.
There you go.
Or I'll just walk it. Or there's that.
There we go.
So that e-bike comes from handy,
see? Yes, there you go.
You know, I didn't, and some people a lot older than me had an e-bike, and they were...
Yeah.
I did an e-bike in Mexico, and that was very cool. That's the first time I've been on a bike in a long time, and then an e-bike, yeah, with that. And I was like, oh, I can do this. Okay, I don't have to pedal. Got it. Like it.
Multitasking the pedaling.
The trail thing, I have to say, is intimidating to me. I would wipe out, and I would definitely plant into a tree. There would be no doubt about it. There would be no teeth left.
We'd start you off on something really...
I would be, the little kitty section rolling around. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely the funny slopes for me.
Very exciting.
All right. Do you guys have anything else for Larry? Larry for us?
Yeah. Larry, well, thank you for letting me sit down.
I think you got the sinking chair. Sorry, because you're almost on the floor.
Yeah.
Guess that's why I was in the corner. Sorry.
So I feel like he's like an outcast.
Well, I wasn't sure how we were going, and we're audience members, so I'm sorry for making you be in the back row here. I didn't mean to put you out there. Okay. All right, then. Moving on. Good.
Yeah.
Any other? This other thing for the new business was the Cross Timbers playground equipment. I wanted to kind of update you guys on. It's just that the playground equipment only had a year warranty, apparently, though it's a commercial playground. So we had one of the little mallets that had broken off on the xylophone, and so we clip the cord on that because it's a raw cord that unravels and it was scratchy and sharp. So we clipped the cord on that. We had another one, so that was okay. I contacted the company and it was almost $300 just to replace that one little mallet. So I said, nah, we got another one. We'll just skip that for now. And that was when I realized in May that it had expired in April. And they weren't willing to go with that. And I thought, it's a commercial. No. So, well, now we've lost the other mallet. So it too has been pulled off. And so we've clipped that. So now we have no longer have mallets to the xylophone. And in addition, one of the inclusive swing, the latch broke off of it. So we were able to get, Public Works was able to go get a tool and get that fixed. So we didn't have to contact the company to do that, but we're malletless. So I thought about changing out that piece of equipment for something completely different, or do we just keep the xylophone there without any mallets, since they obviously seem to be attractive to break for older children, theoretically. So, or do we replace the mallets? So I kind of, it's a discussion, but I just kind of, I didn't have it as an action item. I just want to let you know that, you know, we're going to have some repair things coming up and we'll need to eventually make a decision as to whether we are to replace things or just, you know.
So the mallets, is the rope?
The actual mallet itself is broken off. So wire rope that pulls on that mallet.
Okay, steel cable then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When the mallet's pulled off, then you have the you know, sharp edges to it. So I had Public Works trim just cut those off completely so that there's nothing hanging out that a child could get scratched or eye or God forbid anything else. So fortunately we have our sign up there, so parents called me and said, you know, the swing is broken.
Yeah.
So I was able to get down there, put a sign on it, get Public Works on it, you know, saying that the swing was closed, and to get the Public Works over there and get them to take it down and get it fixed as quickly as possible. So, but, you know, that's just to let you know that we've got some things that are failing, or I don't know if it's vandalism. We do have surveillance on the park, but to identify that, you know, I didn't think it was worth the sources for resources to track down who actually, you know, sat on the swing or whatever. So,
is there any way to buy insurance for that? Continued insurance?
They didn't offer me such an option. They just told me that it was not under warranty any longer. It was only a year warranty, which I think was really disappointing. But
I guess we haven't looked into the price to repair it.
It's $300 for the mallets. I do know that. So, yeah, I mean, I could spend $600 to replace the mallets, but at this point, I'm like, it's been a year and a half and we've lost both of them. Do we want to keep doing this? Or do we just want to say, look, kid, you can just take your hand and do that? You know, I mean, so I don't really know what the entertainment factor is versus the attractiveness, apparently, of pulling them off. So, or maybe it's just design. Maybe they're not really built that well to stay on. So.
I guess my general idea is it's pretty soon to be making changes to equipment.
Yes.
So I would leave it as it is. And then if in 3 or 4 years we're updating other stuff, we look at, that one wasn't a great. So that would be my thought, is that we probably have to have a reassessment of playground equipment every 5 years or so.
And by that time the shade structure will need to be changed and all replaced and things like that. So
be kind of a general, you know, we quietly ask people what their thoughts and opinions are, parents with young kids. What do you like? What have you seen at other playgrounds? Is there something maybe we should see about switching things out? You know, a little, get some feedback and make updates then, but not worry about anything other than safety now.
Right. Yes.
So that would be my perspective.
Yeah. So currently, I mean, I do periodically go over there and kind of check stuff out. I don't climb on things yet because it's new. I don't feel I need to do that quite yet, but I'm not safety certified. Let me preface that for playground safety. So just yes, but I have been known to do such things. But you know, there's an advantage to only being 5'1". So
we understand that you're having a good time out there in the name of safety, and you know,
absolutely.
I might join you one day.
Yeah, you never know.
But all joke aside, any citizens that might be able to fix your problem as a
donation to the city, or, you know, a good deed to the city?
That's a good segue. What I was thinking earlier was that we were talking about, Lee and I were talking about a QR code that maybe we can put. We haven't circled around to this completely because my plate's been a little bit overflowing lately here with getting everything going here and that, but of doing some kind of a sign over there that says, do you love our park? Would you like, you know, if you'd like to make donations, you may do so here with a QR code that's, they can, I've had several parents when I've been over there that said that they love the playground. They're not from here. They don't live in our city, but they would love to contribute to any repairs or any things like the picnic tables we were talking about. I did have a mom who called me today, actually, and asked me about, is it possible to use the playground for a birthday party? Mm-hmm. That would be great to say, our playground is free to use. However, if you'd like to donate for your use of the park, mm-hmm. or for, you know, your enjoyment of the park, it does allow for us, blah, 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 to, you know, do more things, yada, 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 and have a QR code there, mm-hmm. for donations that they can be tax deductible. Mm-hmm. So we can, I believe, that we'll have to check with the accountant to make sure that we can actually do that. We do have an account that does go for donations. So maybe we can, you know, do that where we can, for anything that they, if they can get a tax deductible, you know, letter that states that is tax deductible, that we could maybe start to funnel some money in that, and that'll come especially maybe when the trails come into play.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
But we'll make sure we get all those avenues.
So I feel like the city doesn't have to necessarily, you know, take all that cost. If we do have citizens who are willing,
right.
to contribute to the parks, to, you know, the equipment that we have out there, you know, to the gardens, if we're not asking the question, nobody's going to necessarily come up and give you the information. But once you do, you'll be surprised who shows up. You know, you do have people obviously that make phone calls, but
right.
how many more are having the same thoughts, such as that they're going to have the phone calling you?
Right, yeah. Right. So that is something we'll be revisiting as we can get, you know, as we get kind of settled in and start moving toward the trails.
I was going to say, once we have some trail stuff, mm-hmm. that we open up a bigger fundraising thing.
Yes.
So.
I wish you had some pictures of the mallets and the.
I had one under my desk for a while.
You get mallets at Walmart. I mean, Home Depot.
Right.
We'll have a bring your own mallet.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying they're not $300.
Well, to me, the repair, the failure is the metal paper.
Right. Yes.
You
got
to put something that is nylon or something that is flexible and it's not going to just break under constant flex.
Yeah.
Metal will do that.
And this is a paper clip that you're doing this to.
Exactly.
You know, and eventually that's going to give.
So,
yeah. And they probably chose metal because people would not cut it as readily.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I mean, if you find the cost is fairly inexpensive, metal, I mean, you can cut metal.
Yeah.
You know, wire cutters do that.
That's true.
But a solid nylon rope or something that will last a long time,
right.
if you sit out there, you know.
Right.
Yeah, and it's not something that I think people will actually plan on taking scissors heavy enough to go up and
cut a knife will do the, you know, nonetheless, we can find all the reasons why not do it.
Yeah.
Because there's always going to be the reason, and there's always going to be that one person that will just do it just because they got up on the wrong bed, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's food for thought.
Yeah.
We have used a bicycle chain to chain our new wheelbarrow.
Yes.
Oh, good. So that we don't lose that one. But we had it for 5 years.
Yeah.
Nobody touched it. And then one day it was gone.
Huh.
So.
Yeah, you can never tell. That's
glad you move it.
That would be mine.
Oh, no, it was always there. It was always there.
I guess you never put it by the tree and then it was gone.
Mine would be.
It was gone.
My story from years ago was lawnmower. My neighbor was borrowing it because his was in the shop and had left it. And I heard somebody getting it and I realized somebody was stealing it and put it in the back of his car and drove off. But I called. So I live right around the corner from the park and the police station. So this is many years ago. And so I called. Yeah, immediately the police station. I said, drive, probably driving right past you now. Well, they caught them. They were getting gas at the Exxon, what it was back then. Caught him, brought him back to me in 20 minutes, gave me the lawnmower. So the funny part of that story is, you know, they caught him, bring it back. Well, like the next year it started leaking, and it left it sitting for 2 years. Okay, well, no one ever tried to steal it after that. But I couldn't, you know, I thought it was funny because it's like, yeah, it's funny how it was like, well, somebody to come up and steal my lawnmower.
Yes,
it's not there for 2 years. Yeah. So, anyway, so yeah, that's the wheelbarrow. It's like sometimes it'll just disappear. And it is. So, all right, what else do you have?
We have anything else on the playground update? I'm good. Any other comments on that?
I think we had talked about, are you getting into the whole big?
Yes, the future park and trail improvements for our five-year capital improvements plan. We were talking before about just some things you might like to see. Obviously, we would love to have more parkland. We've got a new subdivision that is going in off of Bankhead that is north of Hunter's Glen. That is, the final plat is going through. They do have some detention ponds that they wanted to give to the city, but we politely said thank you, no thank you, because they are detention ponds. And so I'm like, what are we going to do with those? I mean, you're going to, I'm like, you put a trail around it and a fountain, okay, we don't want something we have to cut. So just to maintain, where's the activity excitement in that? There's not. So there was conversation about them adding maybe a playground, but that fizzled out because that took a lot.
Yeah.
And so they kept, if they didn't have to do both detention ponds, they were going to use the one and maybe put a playground. They've decided to do parkland dedication fee, so which was great because that's...
So we wanted their money.
Yes,
we
wanted more.
It's a tiny, it's not a big development.
No. So. And so the money's, I think, going to be far, far better for us than a detention pond. So.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
well, I would say the
you did their work.
Yeah. The list that we had, I'll give y'all an update on. We had kind of been talking about some things. We put out a bond package a little over a year ago. Not a bond package. We did a CO for the roads, for the Crown Road project, for some asphalt roads. And as part of that, we put in it parks. So we did do some updates, the picnic table, some of that was done. We had hoped to get, like, $500,000, you know, something. What happened was, if we hadn't said this before, bike lanes kind of ate up that dollars, so that when we had our list of potential things like a pavilion or extra little concrete trails, that was also when we got the quotes back on the roads. If there was extra money, we knew what we could pick and choose. Well, we used it all for the roads and then some. So that's great that we went to the effort and kind of came up with a list of some ideas, because I can foresee that we will be looking at another road project that we would potentially always say, we'll always put parks in that so that we can have some expenses. So. That list of things that we've talked about before that we put together, that's still a valid list that we can come back to whenever there's funding. I don't anticipate that there's any significant funding that will come from our annual budget cycle, so it will probably have to be a certificate of obligation type of scenario, but that's to know that we kind of have been maintaining that as our wish list, is what I'll call it, because CIP implies in some ways that we will do it, but I just wanted to say that we talked about a lot of things, we had some big dreams, we didn't have any money left, so we didn't hit any of those, so that's the update on that. So
I wanted to put it on here just because we did discuss it last time, I didn't want to drop it off like, oh yeah, that was great.
What happened was those bids came back, and I said that was something that we discussed, that council approved, we're willing for that money to go to the wider Crown Road, to the bike lanes on. They were willing that was an important part. So that was when they kind of, we signed off on, council made the decision that that was where we wanted to go with that funding. And I think it's a good, I think, given that Trails is next, I think that was a good swap, and we just know that we have some other things that we may. And as we have, see these other developments and stuff, you know, there may be a spot for a pavilion that comes up somewhere else, you know, that we're looking at. So we don't necessarily have to keep adding to cross numbers and stuff. So, okay.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd mention that.
No, that's great update and feedback. I mean, I think that I personally wanted to hear that. As much as I love our parks and what we're going with, things with parks and the trail, the city infrastructure also needs to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So funding, I know it's limited, so therefore I'm glad that there's some decision making that is prioritizing a few things, perhaps the correct way,
yeah,
on how to go about it as a whole.
Well, we got caught because we issued that certificate of obligation for $5 million plus with what we thought we could do, and then inflation went from 2 to 3 when we were making that estimate to the road went, it was over 20% from when we started to when we actually got that bid package out. So that was where it went, wow, everything we thought could go to those extras, inflation hit us. So, you know, I'm not saying, hopefully it won't be that level. So if we plan in the future, we can plan with the idea of being a little bit more sure of the cost that we're putting in for parks will go to parks. So,
what kind of financial impact has the city received from the fire department being now offloaded to someone else?
That is very much still in transition. The idea is April 1st, everything will be kind of, so the reality of how that works is that by September 30th, October 1, everything will be officially moved over. So the next budget cycle will be when everything is perfectly done, that is all under their tax. Because at this point, it's still our tax structure until we set our new taxes in September. So when we set our new tax rate to reflect that now there's the new tax rate for the ESD tax, and then the city will vote to lower. I'm going to say I will. I don't know anybody on council that's not going to vote to lower it. So that's when you'll see that is on October 1, all of that flips. And so when they're setting the tax rate, we'll see. When we're doing our budgeting in August and September is when you'll see that, okay, how much is that going to affect it? So,
right.
So that's the kind of a complicated answer because there will be lease back, buyback, will be all kinds of stuff in the meantime, so stay tuned. I don't think that's on next week's agenda, but you never know. That could be something that we're talking about. But I expect to see that the ESD, they'll I think, you know, receive funding, you know, we've been paying those firefighters, they're going to start paying them, but we're collecting the taxes, so there'll be an agreement in there somewhere that gets us to October 1.
Right.
So, but yeah.
Hopefully, there's a lot of vacation pay and that's still, right. They're still working through, though. We have to compensate for extra hours and this and that, so overages and stuff, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that
anybody
wants to discuss?
I have a statement I'd like to make about detention ponds.
Awesome. They're necessary.
We can look at detention ponds as an opportunity. I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
At Park Julio, when Justin bought that land, I don't know how, can't remember how many acres it is. I think it's over 300 acres that he bought. And he realized that he was going to have to phase the project out. He was going to build Parks Alito 1, 2, and 3, and then he built Point Vista, Bluffs, and now the lakes is under construction. So for each one of those projects, he was going to have to build a detention pond to detain water because of the development. So what he did was he built a regional detention pond at the beginning of the project. Well, it was kind of in the middle. It was after phase 3 of Parks and Alito. But that detention pond has a 1-mile mountain bike trail in it. And the area is completely native. So let's say Willow Park has a developer who comes in and they're going to buy 300 acres out here and they're going to phase it out. I mean, there is an opportunity mm-hmm. where you can say, hey, let's build a regional detention pond. Instead of you having to build one after every phase, we can incorporate that into something, you know, we can incorporate that into a recreational amenity to make it, you know, a detention pond, but it's also something that's going to benefit everybody.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I think when you're dealing with a bigger acreage, mm-hmm. it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Like the Beggs Ranch kind of thing.
Yeah, those type of, yes, like you know, and I don't even know, 25 acres? I don't know what that piece of property, yeah. what the one that is
yeah.
coming being plotted is.
Oh, yeah, it's not.
It's on very yeah. edge. It was annexed in. It was like this tiny little,
yeah, it's not,
you know,
it's not
townhome right. type.
It's not enough to...
Where's the
Beggs
Ranch?
Beggs Ranch is McCall. Basically, if you take, there's also the Dean Ranch there, so it's mm-hmm. not just the Beggs Ranch. But if you go from McCall towards Morningstar, that big ranch there is the Beggs Ranch. So, so the corner of the Lido 1187 and I-20, that.
Oh yeah.
It's the corner on the Willow Park half, the north east
right.
side of that
north
intersection,
east side of
if
that.
That makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. It goes all the way, well, it goes to Stacy Lane ish, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It goes up to where there's homes and houses.
Right.
So but
so there's 285 or 289 acres for sale up here. I think that's part of the Willow Park, right?
No,
there's a big ranch for sale right out, right in front of my property. I think it's around 89 acres.
Okay, is it?
Going for a lot of
that. I was just driving past there today thinking mm-hmm. this would be kind of cool. Maybe we should move here. I don't want that much acreage. Maybe we'll split it.
11.5 million will get you there.
No, I don't want it at all. I changed my mind.
Does the city still have, and this is off subject, there's still a 1 acre rule for new development? If you have to build in 1 acre plots, or has that changed?
There are zoning restrictions.
Yeah,
for
it just depends on
mm-hmm.
the size of the dwelling,
mm-hmm.
of how much it has to be, how the minimum square footage.
So if you're annexed in, your annexed in is R1, which is 1 acre.
1 acre.
But that's just the first step, and then you
yeah.
can come back with your plot to request a zoning change to, you know. So that doesn't mean that it'll get approved or whatever, but I don't know if that's what you, but R1 is 1 acre,
mm-hmm.
But then R3, yeah, we have everything, and I don't know why, ours don't match up with Fort Worth's, our R's are not the same as their R's, so it cracks me up, but, you know, we name ours our way. But anyway, so R3 and R5 would be some of the ones that you see in the smaller neighborhoods, so. Smaller acreage. So.
Right, right.
So,
yes. Home size, you can only put on for 1 acre.
Yeah. It used to be the Willow Park acre, I think was what R1 was.
Yes.
Called, which is slightly under an acre.
Right.
We called it the Willow Park acre. What it was. So. Years.
Not quite an acre, actually.
Yeah. Not quite an acre. There you go. So.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Very good information. Thank you.
You're welcome. I've been here a while.
That's what I asked.
Yeah. Well, not on council, but in Willow Park. Longer than anybody else, I think. Longer than Brian. It's so Doyle. It's so funny how it's like, remember?
How long have you been here?
27 years? I moved here in 23? 20. I mean, let's see, Chuck was born in, I don't know. I think I figured that out. It's 28-ish years is what, in September, 28 or 29. So.
Are you running for mayor when Gold retires?
Nope.
You don't have to offer that?
Nope, I think Gold retires.
Scare him away.
People ask me that all the time. Because they're like, are you mad that Doyle's running again? Nope. We've got our system down.
This is his last run. Is he all right?
Yep. We'll see.